But that's our second fantastic penis story. And the mother thought it was hysterical that the dad was pulling on the little iguana wiener trying to get the baby out.
I have to tell you that I don't think I've ever heard the two words iguana and wiener in the same sentence ever. Baby, check this out. Welcome to Countless Screaming Argonauts. I am the Fabulous Penguin.
And I'm Max.
And we're just two guys talking to everyone about anything. This is show number 92 of the award-winning Countless Screaming Argonauts podcast. Today is Tuesday, April 21st, 2009. And we're to talk about a little bit about everything.
We got, that's what we do. We're two guys talking about everything.
Right. And we got some great stuff tonight.
We do have some good stuff.
We have so much stuff, as a matter of fact, that we're going to do what we like to call. Well, we don't have a name for this. We should try to come up with a name for this, Max.
Right, quick hitter doesn't make me.
No, it tells what we're doing, but it doesn't have that pizzazz. That
right, we need a little pizzazz.
Sport,
romance,
not sport.
Style.
Has
right.
or penguin droppings or Brian's rules. We got to come up with a little.
Well, and I think the part of the problem is that these stories that we have break out largely under Brian's rules of social dynamics or penguins droppings. Most of them are stupid things. Some of them are things that make you go, huh, which, of course, is what's-his-name's shtick. But we've got different kinds of things.
Right. But, I mean, the difference is that sometimes we come up with an issue under these things, and we want to talk about it. And then other times we just come up with, we're just trying to point out the idiocy of the world one idiot at a time, and like we've got seven or eight idiots tonight.
We found a few idiots tonight.
We got seven or eight idiots worth.
Right. And not necessarily me this time.
Right. Well, that's good. That's good. Okay, so let's get started. We'll start with this National Security, Nuclear Security Administration. Max, I have to tell you, when I read this, I had to read it three times.
Yeah,
because I couldn't believe.
Yeah.
I couldn't believe that it was. The United States National Nuclear Security Administration has postponed its crucial program to rejuvenate the Trident missile warhead because
no one can remember how to make a key component of the weapons. They know the code name.
Right.
Fog Bank.
But they forgot how to make it.
Right.
I mean, isn't there an old, one of those old ethnic jokes about, you know, about they lost the recipe for ice? I mean, you know, is that what this is like? I mean, you know, these guys worked on this missile. They have to have plans somewhere, don't they?
Well, I thought so, too. When I read it, I was like, yeah, come on, find the recipes.
Right. They're stored in a warehouse like Indiana Jones, right?
Well, I guess
in some
we'll
wooden
just
box somewhere.
Yeah. We could put them down to unilateral disarmament. You know, we forgot how to make the bomb, so we'll just say we're not going to make them anymore.
Right. And, oh, that there's a thought.
You know, Obama can get some credit. I guess we're supposed to say Mr. Obama or President Obama. I heard some right winger or some left winger, I forget, who was complaining that people are just calling him Obama.
Uh-huh.
But it seems easy to do. But anyway, Mr. Obama can loftily, we have this lofty international relations going now. We can say, we don't think we're going to make any more Trident missiles.
Yeah, we don't think we're going to make them. Well, we can't. We can't make them anymore.
We forgot the recipe. So that was a strange one.
That was a good one. All right. So now this biologist,
Michelle Solinsky,
reports in the Journal of Animal Behavior that, and you had to know that this was true, right?
Well,
male monarch butterflies are such calculating inseminators that they can even decide the optimal level of sperm necessary for reproductive advantage.
Right.
What? Which means basically that they can determine how much of their fertility cells they're going to pass on to the female based on who the female might have been hanging around with before.
Yeah, see, that's the thing that I thought was interesting. Well, we should finish the story.
Well, yeah, my favorite part. That she told New Science magazine that the penis acts as a kind of a dipstick. Now, I have to tell you, that's not the first time I've ever heard that analogy.
You know, that one made me a little queasy. I don't want to be dipping my stick, you know, and coming up with oil already.
Right. Well, I mean, that's the difference between...
I'd like to
that
find
could be the difference between
a quart low, if you don't mind.
Right. Yeah. It might be the difference between men, people...
And monarch butterflies.
And monarch butterflies. That would be a significant difference.
So it...
They use the old dipstick test.
Yeah. And I thought, well, maybe they just figured that they could tell that, you know, Joe Butterfly's swimmers aren't as good, so they don't need as much. I wondered somehow in my mind if they would use less of the injected fluid, is the term they use there.
Right. Well, I would imagine that, you know, that they can selectively decide.
Well, apparently they do, which that's the weird thing. They, depending on how much of somebody else's swimmers are there, they can add
right.
more till theirs overwhelm them. Yep.
Well, you know,
it's a
happens.
Dipstick.
What else can you say?
I don't know. But that's our second fantastic penis story, animal reproduction.
Right.
So, you know, maybe we should have a category for...
A category for just those things? Could be.
No. Oh, I heard of... Speaking of penises, in fact, I was going to send it to you, but I couldn't because the guy who showed me the story had to print it out and bring it from home. Because the email program at work wouldn't allow it to go through.
Uh-huh.
So, can I tell you?
Gee, I wonder why.
Can I tell you the story real quick?
NSFW, right?
That's right. I'll try to make it real fast. And I hadn't planned on telling this story, but a family had an iguana, a pair of iguanas, Bert and Ernie. And the mother said... get male iguanas, right? So the kid picks out two males, and lo and behold, one of them appears to be pregnant and is about to give birth and is having trouble. So they call the dad, and the dad kind of grabs the leg of the iguana as it's coming out to, you know, kind of try to help it out. But the animal is obviously in distress, and the baby's not coming out. So they take the animal to the vet, and the vet goes, let's go to the back room.
I think I know where this is headed. Go ahead.
And he says, you did get two males. And the mom's like, well, what's going on here? And the vet says, well, when they reach a certain age of maturity... they roll over on their backs and start feeling themselves.
Uh-huh.
And the mother thought it was hysterical that the dad was pulling on the little iguana wiener trying to get the baby out. And they all totally forgot the fact that iguanas are reptiles and lay eggs.
Right. Boy, that's a Brian's Rules and a penguin dropping all in one, isn't it?
The way the email read it, it was much longer. They were masturbating the iguana, and you couldn't get that through the not safe for work filter on our email at work. But
right.
But it, did you guess that? Did you figure that out?
I thought that perhaps you were going to say that one of the iguana was gay. And I was going to ask you how you could possibly know that. But I have to tell you that I don't think I've ever heard the two words iguana and wiener same sense ever.
Or masturbate and iguana in the same.
Yeah, that would be another.
Wow. But, you know, and then it got to the end of the story, and it said the iguanas lay eggs. And I'm like, oh, geez, of course. They're reptiles.
Right.
So, you know, I was as gullible. It was cleverly written, and thought it was worth passing on.
Yeah.
What have we got next here?
Well, let's talk about our, as usual, we have a
incompetent
criminal story.
We have a story that doesn't involve a penis.
Yeah, this doesn't involve a penis.
Okay, good.
Okay, this is from St. Petersburg, Florida.
Right.
Okay, there's two men who are seen on a backyard surveillance camera.
Right.
Attempting a home break-in during the day when no one was home.
Right. Now, do you
according
think these
to
guys
the police
were drunk?
Report, that thought crossed my mind.
Yeah.
According to the police report, one of the men assumed a football stance, ran the length of the yard, and rammed into the back door. However, the latch held, the impact sent him backward, leaving him on the ground, writhing in pain.
Alcohol was involved.
Well, you know, that's the only sentence that's missing.
That's the
from
only
this story.
Sentence that's missing. But the reason I like this one, it was just perfectly picturesque. You can just see this guy. If this guy didn't play high school football, I'm not bald.
Right. Right. And if he still doesn't dream that he could have made it in the NFL.
He's still
right?
telling stories about that right. one time when the line opened up and he ran for 15 yards right up the middle.
Right. And if his knee hadn't locked up.
It was the knee. That was it.
He hadn't locked up, boy.
Yeah, this is not a penis story.
That
but
scout would have signed him in a
that's
minute.
Right. This is a dick story. And he's a dick. And unfortunately, he got away, but we can just picture the guy writhing in the backyard knowing that he...
I don't know which image is the best. The guy getting down in a football
right,
stance
right.
or running the length of the yard and
bouncing off the back
the
door.
Door.
You kind of need the whole thing. I think it works better as one.
Amazing.
Yep. So what's next?
Okay. Next is an example. You know, you and I, way, way back when we first started this podcast,
right.
we had several discussions about
irony versus poetic justice.
Poetic justice. And you have sent me an irony story, and it is an absolutely perfect example of
right.
irony.
There's no poetic justice here. This is just irony.
No poetic justice yet.
Right.
A federal arbiter ruled in March that an employer had for years willfully violated the Fair Labor Standards Act in exploiting workers by failing to pay overtime. The guilty employer, the United States Equal Employment Opportunity Commission.
Great.
How ironic,
it's
right?
Perfect, yes.
I mean, that is absolutely.
The only thing this needs is Alanis Morissette.
Right. If she could work that into her next, yeah. she could work that into her next
what
song.
What rhymes with Equal Employment Opportunity Commission?
EEOC? Yeah. I don't know. We'll have to figure
get
that out.
Get down and assume the position. How's that?
Classic. Yeah. It's a classic.
So, and next, what do we have in our quick hitters?
Well, the next one, Max, this is, when I saw this story, I immediately thought of you
uh-oh.
And our friend Don.
Right. Who?
Okay, because, and this is going back about 2 weeks ago, I originally saw
yeah.
this. Two Domino's employees were charged with a felony for a disturbing YouTube stunt that they did. Now, they supposedly said that this was a prank. Now, I've seen the video, and there's nothing on the video that would indicate in one way or the other that it was a prank. But there's basically, for people who may not know Domino's Pizza, they're a made-to-order pizza company that delivers... What probably 8 billion pizzas a day?
A lot of pizzas.
I would imagine
it's based
a lot of pies.
99% of their orders are for delivery. They deliver to college campuses and military bases primarily.
Right. So keeping that in mind, these two employees filmed the prank in the kitchen, where they essentially were making sandwiches and they were putting cheese up their nose. Yeah. Before putting it on the sandwich, and they were rubbing, and I love the way they describe it, nasal mucus on the sandwiches. Basically, they were putting boogers in the sandwich.
Nice. That's, yeah.
Okay? Now, they filmed it.
Because why wouldn't you and then film they yourself posted, putting boogers on a sandwich?
Right. Boogers right. on a sandwich. And then they posted it on YouTube. So, by Wednesday, within a week, the video had been viewed more than 1 million times.
Right.
Okay? There were all kinds of discussions about it on Twitter and through Google and everything like that. Domino's was going nuts because they just realized that they had, I mean, they had
a public relations nightmare,
you know, up there, you know, up there almost with the, what was the name of the Tylenol scandal. You remember that?
Oh, yeah.
I mean, it's almost. It's not quite as bad because, you know, obviously nobody's going to be dying from eating a booger. But
right.
still, at the same time, in terms of public relations, it's horrible. And I love the Domino's spokesperson who said, "We got blindsided by two idiots with a video camera."
And an awful idea.
Which I thought was which I thought just kind of summed it up.
Oh, I think so.
But this is one of those stories, again, that from your and my perspective raises those two questions. One, why would you possibly film yourself doing that? And two, why would you possibly put it up on YouTube?
Right. And we've seen it over and over again. This is putting... Putting a picture of you with a pirate hat on your Facebook page.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
This is eating the iguana.
Right. This is that story if they had filmed the birth of the iguana.
Well, no, I'm talking about the story we did in the past where the people grilled iguana.
Yes. Oh, absolutely.
In St. Thomas's
absolutely,
and
right.
then got arrested for grilling
and then
iguana.
Got arrested for
but
grilling.
They all they had to do was not put it on the internet.
Right.
So
I mean it is. This is all those things all rolled into one.
But it said that Domino's first of all is suing the guys. But they work at Domino's. What are you going to get?
Right. I mean, you know, they work at Domino's for a reason.
Right. You're going to get, you know, a 1973 Chevy Chevette. And the guy's used couch. You know, I'm sure we're not talking about net assets of much more than $12 here.
No, we're not talking about a 401k here.
No. Now, obviously the only thing they could do is to make it public that they've sued these former employees. I'm sure they got fired. It doesn't say
right.
so in the thing. And that, you know, it has nothing to do with Domino's. It is a terrible thing to do to a business. But you know what I find relevant to this, to get onto politics a little bit. To me, this is a small example of what those idiots at Abu Ghraib did to the American public image. It's a lot the same. They filmed themselves doing something stupid, and it got disseminated and ruined the reputation of the United States in this case. You know, to a much greater degree than this ruined the reputation of Domino's, but it's the same idea.
Right. Now, are you talking about this is the waterboarding issue?
No.
This is the one with the naked girl or the...
The girl with the naked guys
right,
and the pictures
right, okay,
of the
right.
stack of naked people, you know. All those things that at the Abu Ghraib prison that ended up making the United States look so bad. As soon as I saw those pictures, I thought, oh my God, this is bad for my country. It's a shame that these idiots get to be the image of my country. Just like it's a shame these Domino's people get to be the image of Domino's. And I'm a graduate of the school of Domino's, and the answer is I would never have put it on YouTube if I did.
Right. That wasn't my question. My question was going to be to you.
Yeah.
Did and I think I know the answer. Part of the answer is I don't see you as the kind of person who would do this. But were you aware of anybody having done something to food, either as a joke or as a prank, or in all the time that you didn't work there all that long, right?
We worked there for 3 years, I think.
Okay.
like I said, we didn't put it on YouTube. No, the truth is, I never, in all of my time, saw anybody that I worked with do anything in any way violative of the food, if that's a word. In fact, Don always maintained a strict cleanliness policy. We would have to sterilize the sink with Clorox. I mean, we were Cloroxing the floor. Everything was clean and shiny and absolutely upright and up to date and in no way bad in any regard.
Right. Well, you know what this story reminds me of, or not reminds me, but what this story kind of brings up for me is the fact that...
brings up is an interesting
brings
term.
Up, yeah, there's an interesting term. That 20 years ago, this would have been one of those urban legends.
Interesting.
Okay? Somebody would have said, I heard that two Domino's pizza guys... white boogers on a sandwich that they delivered to the campus. And then somebody else would say, well, who was it? And they'd say, well, you know, I heard it from a friend who had a friend.
Right.
Or whatever. So what's happening, or what seems to be happening a lot, is that we have some sort of either acting out of these urban legends, that these kids were aware that that was an urban legend,
yeah,
and decided to do it,
yeah,
or that those things maybe really did happen, but because there wasn't an internet and a YouTube to kind of spread the
information,
the word around, that nobody ever knew for a fact. I mean,
right,
you know, if I had a dime for every "there's no cats around a Chinese restaurant" story that I heard,
yeah,
and I know somebody who told me once that they had heard that somebody in a fast food place, and I don't know whether it was McDonald's or Burger King or Wendy's or whatever, dropped a whole box of burgers on the floor.
Yeah.
And essentially they just kind of picked them all up and mixed them back in with the other burgers and then, you know, went about their business. But, you know, there's no YouTube video of it.
Right.
So, you know, I always just kind of took those to be these little urban legend stories.
Yeah, the idea of, you know, don't complain about the chef or he's going to spit in your food, those stories,
right? Oh, absolutely,
have been around forever.
Right.
And come to think of it,
well,
now
actually,
I have...
there was that movie.
I have...
there was that movie recently where the... where the woman and the two main characters were both were like rival chefs, and there was a scene where the guy complained that his rare steak wasn't rare,
yeah,
enough, and she comes out of the kitchen with the steak on a knife and sticks it in the table. You know, I mean, those are the kinds of stories you hear,
yeah,
and you wonder.
Yeah, I've sent my steak back a couple of times, and I have wondered about that. But you're right, we have no way to know. The average person doesn't get to look behind the curtain at the restaurant.
Right.
I used to work
right.
in a restaurant, too. And nobody ever spit in any food.
That you were aware of, yeah.
They never did it around me.
So anyway, this is one of those stories.
Yep. Yeah, the point being, don't put it on YouTube. Well, I mean, let's say it up front.
The point is,
right,
don't do it, but if you did do it, don't put it on YouTube, dummy.
One thing is mean and wrong, and another thing is just monumentally stupid. All right, what else you got?
Well, I wanted to talk maybe semi-seriously,
yeah,
about this article that I saw about newspapers. Basically, what it was saying was that there's a lot of issues with newspapers right now. I mean, a lot of them are collapsing. They're going out of business. They just can't make it in this internet world.
Yeah.
And there are a bunch of new web startup companies that are creating what they call hyperlocal news sites, which allow you to, by putting in your zip code, they will search for stories in the area of your zip code within, it doesn't say how close, but I mean, you know, probably within, you know, 20 miles, 30 miles or whatever, and provide you with like a newspaper style thing of local news.
Yeah.
Which I thought was a pretty interesting thought. And it just kind of got me thinking about the death of the newspaper. Do you think that we're seeing the death of newspapers?
Well, you know, somebody said something on the TV the other day that I'd never heard of before, and it really made me stop. And that's this. Google is making billions of dollars by rolling up searches of information that people are looking for, and very often leading their results with newspaper stories, news stories from the Times, the LA Times, the Washington Post. And Google's making a ton of money, and the newspapers are giving it away for free. And I think that the answer to that, I think the answer all along should have been for newspapers to charge for online. You can't get the story without paying for it. You have to pay for your newspaper. I think that the amount of money should have been pennies. You know, what's a daily paper cost? 50 cents?
Yeah, 50, 75, a buck maybe.
Right, but if you and I wanted to subscribe to the New York Times, we should be able to get it for a nickel a day, a dime a day.
Right.
You know, they're not printing it on paper. They're not paying the paper boy 35 cents to deliver it or whatever.
Right.
But I think that if all the newspapers, and maybe this is illegal, would get together and say, sorry, Google, you can't use our stories unless you come across with a little grease.
Yeah.
Maybe because I am concerned about the loss of investigative reporting.
Sure.
I don't want to see news offices go away.
Right, but I guess I have two points to make. One is
Is
not blogs becoming the investigative reporting?
Yeah, in some cases, Twitter is becoming the investigative reporting. People
right.
are getting 140 characters worth of instant news. There's two
right.
problems with that. They don't have the standards of the New York Times or the Washington Post or the LA Times. They're not getting two sources.
Right.
They are not in any way necessarily reliable. Look at the Drudge Report. You know, Drudge changed news gathering. I guess he's considered – I haven't been to the Drudge page in forever. But he's sort of pseudo-reporter. But he doesn't hold to the
right.
same standards.
Right, right. Well, the second question it raises for me, and I understand that what I'm going to say right now is hyperbole and an exaggeration, but if you charge for the news, then only the rich get to hear what the news is. In a world that we have today where we have so many economic issues
right.
and stuff, you know, there are not people who are going to pay for news online. They're going to go without it. And what they're going to get instead are going to be these faux news. Notice
yeah,
the
I like
word
that.
I
That's
use.
French.
The faux news, you know, faux news sites or whatever that are providing a very, very biased side of the news and calling it news when it really isn't. It's...
opinion. Up until the internet age, newspapers had been getting increasingly unbiased. I know a lot of people will be shocked about that, but go back and read the newspapers from 1876 where they put editorials on the front page. They were out and out arms of one rich man's political agenda. It was much better. The problem with Or a problem with the internet. I'm not going to be like that much.
The only one, right.
Yeah.
No, the only problem.
Is that people can find reinforcement for whatever it is, the opinion that they hold. And whatever you think of the New York Times, they think of themselves as objective.
Sure. And, you know, to prove that, all you have to do is go to Google and type in flat earth.
Yeah.
And see what you get for something like that, or creationism, and see what you get for something like that. I mean, you know, it's out there. You can find if you have an opinion, you can find lots of people who have the same opinion and,
oh,
and
yeah.
pal around
together. Yeah, the first time I heard that was the deal with sex offenders. It used to be they had enough sense to be ashamed of themselves. And then this was more prevalent in the days when we had the Usenet news groups. You know, there grew up these child pornography news group sites, and people
right.
would start communicating. You know, you could find there may only have been 15 deeply perverted sex offenders in the whole country, but they could find each other now. So, you know, it gets worse with the advent of Fox News and faux news like Bill O'Reilly's show. But now, and you know, I'm a fan of MSNBC, but I will quickly admit that it tends to lean to the left, with the exception of Joe Scarborough. It is decidedly left. Fox News is ridiculous. Even on television now, we're getting almost everything is semi-editorialized. Straight-up news, headline news, for instance, is pretty rare. You can still find headline news, but everything comes at you at a slant, and people tend to only watch people that agree with them. And I think that's a problem.
Sure.
I also happen to think that the New York Times is fair and down the middle and plays by old standards, as does the Washington Post and the LA Times and a few other papers.
Yeah, I'm not sure that they do as much as they used to, but I understand your sentiment.
Well, just because somebody shouts it from the rooftops that the New York Times is biased doesn't make it so. Even if they say it every day on Fox News, New York Times is biased, New York Times is biased, I absolutely reject the fact that because Fox News says it, it's so. I
sure.
know.
No, I understand.
You know, the New York Times has made mistakes. They had that guy a couple of years ago who they had to fire because he was making shit up.
Right.
Which is worse than having a bias, in my opinion. But yeah, I think the problem with the internet is that people are finding reinforcing stuff. And strangely, there seems to be this increasing movement toward I've just lost the word. Not liberal, not conservative, libertarian.
Right.
There's a growing movement of libertarianism, and bless you, my son, if your children don't go that way. You know, I'd rather my kid was gay than a libertarian, I'm telling you. And they are all over the goddamn internet, and Ron Paul is their saint, their prophet.
Right. Oh, sure.
You know, and this is a guy that doesn't believe in evolution. So while he may sound brilliant, think again.
Right. Yeah, well, that's an obvious
one. But there's a growing welling up of this. And particularly with the Obama administration, because Obama's having to do so many, and here I'd said it again, Mr. Obama's having to do so many radical things to try to fix the mess that Mr. Bush left us, that...
Yeah, Mr. Bush. That sounds so funny coming out of your mouth.
people are saying, well, wait a minute. We're giving billions of dollars to rich bankers, and the people on the left are sick of it. And the people on the right are saying, well, wait a minute, we're just having a tea party because, well, we're not sure why we're having a tea party, but we're sick of it,
right.
too.
We don't know.
You know, and more you're hearing people say, to hell with government. Reagan and, I can't think of the guy's name now. I say this all the time on the podcast. There's a behind-the-scenes Republican who says that the problem with government is government and that we should have less and less government all the time. And I can't think of his name. But you got that from Reagan. You got it from, you know, all the conservatives, which irritates me because
right.
conservatives are not in favor of no government. They just like old-style government. But now you're getting it from the liberals who say, you know, I'm tired of having the government do this and that. And anyway, so the point is people are finding people who think like them, and it's self-reinforcing and it's snowballing.
Yeah, it's easier. It's much easier to do.
Well, you're exactly right. It's a good point. You don't have to think critically if you think like everybody else, and you can find a pod of whatever it is you think.
I can't help it. When you start talking like this, I can't help but think about that image from FARC with a guy holding up a sign that said, "What a bunch of morons," and he misspelled the word. I mean, that's it. It's in a nutshell. Yeah. That kind of sums it up. Well, listen, our time is just about up, but I know that there's a couple of things that are bugging Mac, so let's hear them.
Well,
I'm sure I have an opinion one way or the other.
What was that? That I don't usually have an opinion?
No. I mean, about the things that are bugging you, I mean.
The first thing that's bugging me is the use of the word czar for any special appointment that anyone makes now. We're going to have a czar for this. We had a drug czar. They were going to appoint a money czar, I think. Now they've
economic czar, drug czar. I mean, you know, there's lots of czars.
There are
out
lots
there,
of czars, and they've appointed a border czar, and the czars were bad people, and I think we should, you know, appoint a
who ultimately failed.
Right.
You know, and so should we be naming our leaders?
Can't we come up with something in the English language that means manager? Efficient guy, efficient woman.
Well, how about just calling the manager, the border manager, the money manager,
right,
the drug manager, the drug policy manager? I mean, there you go. There's a perfectly good explanation.
Right.
But no, part of it is probably, I think, newspaper and the TV news, because they love those short little clips. Drug czar sounds perfect.
It's only nine characters.
It's not a snowstorm. Right, it's not a snowstorm. It's the fury of 2009, you know? I mean, it's got to have a ring to it. It's got to have certain. So I agree with you.
So you think the death of our culture is from headline writers?
It could be. Although I have to admit that I do have a favorite New York Post headline.
And that is?
My all-time favorite. I used to get the paper. I used to get the New York Post every day on my way to work.
Yeah, because Brian had a favorite
headline,
one too.
My favorite headline was they found there was a Cosa Nostra hit.
Yeah.
in a strip club.
Right. Yeah.
And
this
the
is
headline
the...
said, "Headless man found in topless bar."
Right. That's Brian's favorite one too.
It's perfect. That tells you everything you need to know about that story.
It's Twitter before its time.
Right, it really was. And that, in some ways that's true. But Twitter is the headline. This is the New York Post headline of the internet.
Yeah.
Okay, so that's one.
Right. The other thing,
and the other thing that's bugging Max
is women, dark-haired women, tinting their hair. You see it, they're sneaking over toward the blonde part of the world. They start out brown hair, and then they streak it, and a few more streaks, and before you know it, didn't that person used to have brown hair? Didn't they used to have black hair? If you got
so
black
you
hair,
like
be proud
who,
of it.
You don't like women who dye their hair, is what you're saying.
I don't like this pseudo fake out. First of all, I think I prefer dark haired women, just in general. To me.
Right.
And people have called me racist for this, and you know, fuck you if you think I'm racist. I think black hair and blue eyes is the most incredible combination you can find. If that makes me a racist, like I said, fuck you. But if you've got beautiful tumbling locks of brown hair, and I start to see those streaks are inevitably followed by lightning, and then lightening some more. And before you know it, you've got another blonde.
Right.
Whoever came up with this idea that blondes were more attractive is just perpetrated a fraud. A beautiful woman is a beautiful woman, and I'm not saying that blondes can't be beautiful. Certainly, I've seen plenty of them, but they don't have a genetic advantage over anyone else. If you've got great brown hair, love it. Show it off. Grow it. That's the other thing that bugs me is these women, particularly women who get married, and they cut off all their hair.
All right. So now I gotta be real careful. We're treading on very, very tenuous ground. Now, you have to understand that Mrs. T-Fab P just got her hair cut today, very short, and had it streaked. Okay? So we're dealing with this as an issue. I have to tell you that I have no problems with that at all until we get into colors that do not appear in nature by themselves. Okay? So if you have dark hair and you want to go blonde, no problem. If you have dark hair and you want to go pink, I've got a problem with that. You know, no purple, no pink.
First of all, I have to tell you that Myrrh Lafferty in her Twitter picture has purple hair. And I'm cool with that because purple says, I'm not trying to be something I'm not. I've got purple hair. Well, and I'm gonna agree with you to this other extent. And I don't know how to do it. Maybe it's the quality of the product. But I don't like hair from which light cannot escape. If your head is a gravity well, you've probably done something wrong.
So you're talking about people with, like, jet black hair?
Right. Right. If you, you know...
Like Billy Mays.
I don't know who that is.
He's the guy who sells all those products on TV.
Oh, yeah, his hair is a gravity well. Right. Absolutely.
Black hair and black beard.
Yeah, and you know it's totally changed. Yeah, I like hair to look like hair. If it looks like on a green screen it would disappear, then, you know, it's probably wrong. Yes, Billy Mays colors his beard. He colors his hair. Yeah, that's wrong. But please, if you're a woman with dark hair, show it off. Grow it, blow it, you know, long as you can grow it.
Well, thank you.
Give me a head with hair.
Mr. Steve, the hairdresser. Of course, coming from somebody who is completely bald.
Yeah.
I mean, it lacks some oomph.
No, you know? Maybe I get to think about it more because I miss it.
Aha. Uh-huh. Maybe you obsess about it because you miss it.
No, it's just where I work, there's a large number of women, and every once in a while I see the streaks. And I know that it's going to be like... I can't say that.
Good. I'm glad.
Anyway, let's just say it's going to continue to expand. And it makes me sad. Give me a beautiful head of live, real brown hair, and I'm golden with it.
Well, listen, as always, it was fun tonight. We covered a lot of stories.
We've got more to do.
We exposed a lot of idiots today, including two wearing headphones, perhaps.
But
that's besides
so.
The point.
Yeah, that's true. But, hey, what the hell. We are the award-winning podcast of record.
You, I got it.
I still want to see my copy of the award sometime.
You'll get it. It's in the mail.
All right. Or the record, right. For that matter.
Right. All right. You hang in there, dude.
All right.
Talk to you later.
I'm
a primitive ancestry, which stood on rocky shores and kept the beaches shipwreck free. Though I respect that a lot, I'd be fired if that were me.